Taking time today to visit with Michaela Kienitz. She is the CEO at the Boone County Hospital. And Michaela, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Jim.
Give us a little update on what's happening here at the hospital. New year. First of all, congratulations. A whole year? You're still...
A whole year, yes. It's been a great year, really. It has been. We've done so many wonderful things, and I felt very welcomed by the community, and there's just so many great things to say.
You got a lot of things. I know you call them wins. You got a lot of things that have been going on, and you like it when things are going well and people appreciate it. On the other side here, almost a year in, and now we got to find a new CFO.
Yeah, unfortunately, Carl Willems has decided to take a position in Des Moines, and so he is going to be leaving the organization later in February, and so we're kind of on a search for a new CFO. If anybody knows of anybody, send them our direction.
Well, you had pretty good luck last time finding him, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, hopefully it works out as good as it did last time.
Try to find somebody working in the group. In the meantime, I know he's done a lot of things gearing up, getting ready for this, things that you've looked at as far as Medicaid, getting all of the right numbers in there, getting the audit report all taken care of. So all of that's been done. So we are moving forward at any rate.
Yeah, Carl's done an exceptional job while he was here for us. He did really help us with all of the things that you mentioned. And really, we spent a lot of time, he was here basically during my whole first year, so we were both new. And so we spent a lot of time really strategically looking at the direction of the organization in the next, 5-10 years. And so I'm really excited to see some of the things that we've just been talking about and planning for really truly come to life.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people don't realize it, but your strategic plan, that's something where the board is looking at what do we do, what's going to be in the best benefit of the community, of the hospital, patients, and there's a lot of variables you have to look at. And how are we going to afford it?
Right. There's a lot to take into consideration when you're making those big types of decisions. And like you said, we really have to look at what's going to be the best for patient care and what's going to, be the best for our community and support the organization long term so that we're stable and viable and all of those things. And then, like you said, trying to afford it and make sure that the decisions we make are going to be the right ones to take us long into the future.
Well, one thing we do know is I wanted to get on staffing right away because that's pretty easy to cover a lot of what's going on. Last time when we visited, we had just the board had approved, again, new contracts for new doctors that are coming in. And we've even added a few more this time and done a little bit of adjusting on some of these. We have a new ED doc.
Yes, Dr. Lori Crome, that's her name. So she's going to be joining us starting in April, and she'll be a full-time ED doc. So that's got us up to 3 full-time ED docs and 1 part-time. And so that pretty much rounds out our ER staffing. So I'm really excited about that because we've been staffing our ER with, agency-type providers who are wonderful people. But I think there's a lot of value in having our own constant, consistent team where, they know all the services that we have and when we have them and when things are available. And there's just a lot of value to that. And so I'm really excited for her to get started.
Especially in the ED, because a lot of things happen very quickly and decisions need to be made quickly and everybody needs to be on the same page working.
Exactly.
I know that there's, besides that, we've done some adjustments. I know Dr. Linkenmeyer is going to kind of oversee as the medical director for Ogden in the interim until Dr. Hernandez gets here because Dr. Chase, she got hired away from us.
Yep, she did. Yes, Dr. Chance was the medical director for that rural health clinic. And so Dr. Linkenmeyer is going to take that temporarily.
Well, we'll keep moving ahead with that, too. Let's talk a little bit because one of the things Carl does, people don't realize it, but your finance officer spends a lot of time paying attention to your capital plan, your capital purchases, what's going on there. And one of the things that staff and he have been working on is a cardiac monitoring system. Now, I know dollars were there for it, but you didn't really intend to, I think, go ahead with a complete system upgrade there the way it turned out.
Yeah, I think we did budget for an upgrade to the current system, and what happened was our team really started doing some work with the vendors and looking at what do different vendors have to offer us and, what could that bring to the organization as far as if we do a complete overhaul, what does that look like? And in the end, that's really the direction that our team that was working on this, our clinical team, wanted to go, and so The board approved that. We were going to go ahead and move forward with replacing our entire cardiac monitoring system. And there's just a lot of benefits in doing that for staff. There's some inefficiencies that we currently experience with that system. And, staff have to go into a couple different systems to download the information that they need. And so the new system is going to be a little bit easier for staff to use and over time be more cost effective. So I think that's going to be really good for us and for patient care, because it's like, we talked about safety quite a bit of times when we interview, we talk about safety. And I think that cardiac monitoring equipment is very important when we're talking about patient safety. And so getting new equipment and keeping stuff upgraded and having the best is really important for the care that we provide.
I think one of the things, as they were looking, and I remember the explanation, the current system we have to pay each time we get new software upgrades. The new one includes a lot of that. So long term, over the next 5 years, really, it's a much better investment for you.
Yeah, and I think, the new vendor that we're going to be going with has some really good reviews from other critical access hospitals, and so I think we're really excited to see what that can bring to us for efficiency and upgrades and just staying current with the best practices.
Well, we did have, the discussion started about the tax asking for the next fiscal year, because this is the time of the year you have to start doing that. I did a little bit of investigating and found out Boone County happens to be one of two counties out of, 30-some, I think, that you don't really levy anything for ambulance service.
Yeah, we had been levying for some of the other items that are allowed, but had never levied for the ambulance service. And so when we start looking at the ambulance service and how it affects our bottom line and our operations and things like that, we've done a lot of talking over the last year about getting our two new ambulances and how expensive those were and how important it is to keep that equipment up to date and all those things when we're talking about patient safety. And, when someone calls 911, they want the ambulance to arrive, and we want that to be the best experience that they can have with the best care. So, we really looked at what would it take to levy for the ambulance and what's kind of a middle ground on that. So we're not levying, we're not going to ask for the full amount of the levy for ambulance specifically, but a portion of it to try to, just basically help maintain that equipment. Mm-hmm. And if you look at sort of the total dollars that we'll be levying per year, it's almost enough to buy one ambulance a year to keep that rotation of vehicles moving forward. Now, that doesn't include staff or all the equipment or anything like that, but it does help us offset the cost of those actual vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And I know that was one thing that when the purchase of two came up, it was we'd need to get into this rotation of when we are going to be able to acquire a new one, but you can trade for it or you can sell off another one. If it's in good condition, you get a good return on it. So, again, it keeps your fleet much younger.
Yeah, we've been working with the vendor that we purchased the two from to try to look at what does the future look like for replacement. And like you said, finding the kind of the sweet spot for when you should trade in so that you're getting the most value back out of those and keeping your fleet up to date. So there are a lot of options for, just replacing the chassis or replacing different parts, but we're not able to do that right now until we get our fleet into a little bit better position with our other two ambulances. And so that's something we need to keep working on. And then, I think we've talked about this a lot, that there's a really long lead time for them. So right now, if we get on the list, it's going to be 2 years before we can even get a new one again. So we're going to probably be doing that here shortly. I think we're going to talk about that at the next board meeting. And you can always, say we don't need it right now. No, we'll go to the next person on the list. But it's definitely worth getting on that list. And so I think that this tax asking is going to help us be able to continue to keep that fleet up to date.
And I noticed that Carl did point out to the board that they have a tendency to try to be right in the middle on the tax askings for county hospitals, trying to keep that levy pretty much in the middle. It'll stay fairly close to being in the middle. Might be up a spot or two, but it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, and we did look at that, and we tried to really make sure that we were kind of staying where we wanted to be. And I think, if everybody else sort of stays consistent with what they've been doing, it should move us up just one or two spots. And so we're feeling very comfortable with where that would put us at.
All right, so still have to go through the public hearing and everything on that. That'll still be coming up for the board. One of the other things that's been going on Anybody who's gone to see their doctor within maybe the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, I'm guessing, they've had some issues when it comes to being able to access some of the records, and it's just been a real kind of a nightmare on the IT side of things. And I know you've had a whole year of trying to deal with this and try to keep them calm. And the bottom line is we are working on this, and actually you have a new IT guy. You're bringing this back in-house now.
We are. So currently we have it contracted out to a vendor. And so one of the things that we have been dealing with is some struggles with accessing the medical record. And, you know, it's doctors and nurses. It affects everybody. Our mm-hmm. IT systems affects everybody's work and everything that we do in the organization. So we need all of that stuff to be running smoothly. We want patients to have a good experience again and not sort of have to be waiting while the provider is trying to get the computer to do what it needs to do and all those things that, you know, can cause a little bottleneck in care. And so we've been doing a lot of work on that. And so we are going to switch our hosting of our servers. We'll be hosted at Mary Greeley Medical Center. They are our partner in, we have a transfer agreement with them. And so they have been very gracious in working with us to get this hosting set up. And we are bringing on a new chief information officer that will be an employee of Boone County Hospital. His name is Evan Jorgensen. He is currently a senior infrastructure architect at Mary Greeley, and he's been very involved in the migration. So there's a long process called a migration where you move all of your current data from where it's currently hosted on the servers to the new servers that will be at Mary Greeley, and that is a very big process, and it takes a long time to undertake. And so Evan's been helping to lead that for us through our partnership with Mary Greeley, and so that's been very valuable, and he will be very valuable in continuing that work along with leading our IT team and making sure that all of our stuff is working the way that we want it to work and that it should work moving forward.
Because you have so many computers and people don't realize if you're all of a sudden 3, 4, 5 years old, you're going, oh, we need to replace these. You got to have somebody who has those skills and knows that it's time.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's a little bit like the ambulances and all of your cardiac monitoring equipment. It's a little bit like all of that. You know, we have to make sure that all of our equipment and technology is staying up to date. And so having someone in charge of that who, you know, has a really strong knowledge base for that will be very good for us as we move forward. And technology is ever changing, so we have to be able to keep up with the new stuff that's coming about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't I recall, and many people might remember when you were where they were upgrading, Meditech. Yeah. Never mind. Never mind. There were a lot of headaches there for a lot of people, but they worked their way through it. We'll keep going forward. One thing is we want to get something that's working in the way the physicians need it to work. Because if you have patients in there, you really don't want to delay getting them taken care of the way you need to. So.
Right, exactly. And so it's really, really important to everybody's care and to the flow of everyone's work to make sure that our systems are working the way that they should.
Well, a couple of different things, obviously, since we had last visited. On the wind side of things, all your EMS crews made it through the snowstorm and everything else, and all your staff, which did raise a question or two about how long have you been here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we had a lot of staff that, kind of packed their bags for the storm and stayed here at the hospital, and our EMS teams did a great job getting out to the people that did need help. But, you know, that was a really big win for us, was making sure that, you know, we were here and we were able to serve patients the way that, you know, we always want to. And we had the team here. And so our staff were exceptional and made sure that they were here at work when they needed to be. And so I'm really proud of them for that. And I know it's not easy to leave your family for 3, 4, or 5 days because you need to be at work. And so it's really important that we make sure to recognize them for, you know, making sure that they prepared for what was upcoming and were able to be here for their shifts.
And our crews, our EMS crews, like everybody else, responded to Perry back at the beginning of the month of January. Everybody goes to be prepared, and fortunately, or unfortunately, it was this small number, but fortunately, it was not a large number of people that were injured. That's the good news.
Yeah, we did respond to that, and, you know, I'm positive that we would respond to any neighboring community that needed help. And so it was, you know, nice to know that there was such a good response from all the surrounding communities. And while it was a, you know, devastating event, I think it's a good show of the EMS preparedness that is occurring out there with so many people responding.
So on the one side of things, I know one thing you wanted the group to do or employees to do was be more involved doing community projects, and they have been very busy, and they still have more coming up.
Yeah, our teams have been really busy. This last year, you know, we talked a little bit about the fact that I've been here a year, and that is one of the things that I'm really passionate about is community engagement. And this year, I think since July, we've already done 104 community activities, and so our staff is out there, and they're very active. You know, at Christmas time, I think we did some collections for folks at the nursing homes that maybe don't have, you know, family visiting as much, and had a few items that was on their wish list, so we did that. And we do have upcoming, I think, a couple of different events, one of which is a hygiene drive that our community committee is leading through the month of February, and so I think the information on that one just came out today, but collecting, you know, various hygiene products to help spread out to folks that need it in our communities. So we continually work at how we can support our communities, and I think there's some STEM nights coming up. We're going to be supporting some student tours here at the hospital, just trying everything that we can do to partner with our communities and let them know that we're here and, you know, everything that we do.
And especially you start getting like some of these EDGE students that are doing, the CN, CNA training, things like that, that are, I mean, that's one of the things they're looking to fill those spots. And if there's an interest, hospital is a great way to find out more about it.
Absolutely. And I think they're bringing a group of, I think, juniors and seniors coming up in February that are going to come here and tour. And we're going to try to, you know, let them see a lot of the hospital and do some hands-on activities while they're here so that they can really get a good feel. If they're interested in healthcare, we want to be the place that they, you know, someday maybe want to come work and just give them all those experiences that we can. So we're really excited about that.
Well, we do have other projects and capital projects and things that do need to be done. One of the things that I did want to ask about before we run out of time is Project Be the Light. I know that was one thing you really wanted to get going, and it continues to gain strength. And we have a silent disco, huh? Silent disco.
We are having a silent disco. Sarah Bain with the foundation, she partnered with an EDGE student who helped to come up with the idea to have a silent disco, and that's coming up in February, and it's at the high school, I believe, here in Boone. And a silent disco is where everyone gets a headset, and music plays into the headset, so outside of that you can't hear it, so that's why they say it's silent, but everybody's wearing a headset so they can dance and have fun to that. So I think that's going to be a really exciting opportunity for people to come together and support Project Be the Light. I think there's also a chili supper that's put on by the auxiliary just to try to, you know, be supportive and get out there. And so it's kind of fun to see all of the partnerships that are happening as we grow and develop these things out into our communities. So if everybody is, you know, if anybody's bored, and that I think it's February 18th, come out to the silent disco.
Yep. Yeah. Help support Project Be the Light.
Yes,
and again,
absolutely.
Give them a little bit for those that aren't still aware what it is. It's really a way to raise some funds to be able to help some people dealing with cancer.
Yeah, you know, our intention is to fundraise and then be able to give that money back out to those folks that have a diagnosis of cancer in our service area. And just, you know, help offset their expenses for bills, whether it be a car payment or their light bill or a medical bill. And they don't have to be a patient here. They just need to live in our service area in Boone County. And so I think that it's going to be a really nice program. We did it where I was at before, and it's really amazing to see that support go back out into the community, out directly to the people that help support us. So I'm really excited to see it grow. We've actually raised I think around maybe $6,000 so far, based on a couple of different sporting events that we attended. And then I think there was an elementary challenge at the Madrid School. They raised quite a bit of money for us with a coin challenge. So that was very heartwarming to see that happen. And so, you know, every little bit counts for this as we're trying to help people who are really struggling.
People ask me and say, well, where do I find out more about it? I say, call the foundation office. They can give you more details about how
Absolutely.
To help support that
Absolutely.
Effort. Again, that's an easy way to do that. I was going to ask a couple of quick questions here before I let you go. I know you've been working on, you've had staff that have been working on, by the way, we got to mention that Kim Schwartz has retired now. So another adjustment in your administrative team there.
Yeah, we've had a pretty big transition in our administrative team this year with me starting and Carl starting and Joe both retiring. And then at the end of this year, Kim did retire in December. And so we, you know, Kim has done so much for this organization and we will really, really miss her. But I am excited for her future and wish her well in her future plans. I think she's going to be maybe teaching a couple classes for DMAC and she's got kind of, you know, some big stuff planned. So I'm excited for her. But yeah, it's been a year full of transition for the organization from an administration level.
Well, we keep going forward now. Now the pressure's on. You got to find a new CFO. So
yep.
not Carl's fault, but he was. I mean, he fit the bill. What you needed right away when you got started. Now we just have to find somebody else to take his place and take us to the next level. Keep going. So.
Yep, we've got a lot of fun stuff ahead. So I hope that whoever joins us is excited for a challenge and a fun future.
I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us. Thanks so much. And we'll keep in touch with you and find out what's going on after the next board meeting.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jim.